And we're holding on Yud Tes Amud Aleph, the eighth line. We discussed the question. Now, our Mishnah says, Stam Nedarim Lahachmer, that if a person makes a neder, and there's two possible ways of understanding whether what he said constitutes a neder or not, then by default, we assume it is a valid neder. Only if he explains and tells us that he meant something, that's Lakula, then we would go according to that. The Mishnah gave us several examples. Now, though, the problem is, we said we have a Mishnah in Masech Taras that says Safik Nizirus Lahokel, and Nizirus is a type of neder. So Reb Zera started by saying that the difference is our Mishnah goes according to the Chachamim, and the Mishnah in Taras goes according to Reb Eliezer. We had a case involving a Safik on a person's mamon, a person is makdish his animals to the Beis Hamikdash. Does he include a koi as well? Reb Eliezer says no. The Chachamim say yes. And therefore, so we assume that just like he would say that he's willing to allow his mammon to be in a suffix, so also his guf, whether he himself is going to be a ned or nazir or not, that would be what the Chachamim say. Rabbi Eliezer would say that no, he doesn't want either one to be in a suffix, therefore the koi is not kaddish, therefore he himself is not a nazir. So then Abaye had brought that the continuation of the Mishnah mentions about a Safik Bechor, and Reb Zera said, yeah, but Bechor is different because its Kedusha is automatic. Which, by the way, I mean, the Rashba points out, so what was Abaye thinking? And Acharonim talk about one possible answer is, given we did learn before, it is true that a Bechor becomes Kaddish automatically, but nevertheless, there was a mitzvah to declare it Kaddish, then therefore Abaye figured that might be a basis enough to say, is he declaring it Kodesh in that case when it's only a suffix on it? And Reb Zera tells him, listen, it doesn't really matter. Regardless, it's becoming Kodesh, whether he says anything or not. So the Gemara says, Ela Ikasha Hokasha. So rather, if you're going to say that there's a question about the Mishnayos there in Taurus, and you're going to say, So Reb Zera was saying that the Mishnah in Taurus over there, specifically the one that we're talking about over there, Suffolk Nazirus, is according to Reb Eliezer, or there is the possibility, actually, it's Reb Elazar, as we're going to see soon in the Gemara, why that might be. Many times in Shas, you have the copyist and the printers weren't always careful to distinguish between Reb Eliezer and Reb Elazar. So if you're going to ask a question about the Mishnayos Taurus over there, and about what the position of those Mishnayos is about Sfeikas, then Ela Ikasha, if you're going to have a question, Ha Kasha, then your question is going to have to be as follows. Now, the next piece that we're going to quote, the way we have it in the Gemara in front of us, is actually a Braisa, which is relating to that Mishnah in Taurus. The Ran says, on the face of it, why do we need to? The actual Mishnah in Taurus continues with essentially the same thing. Isn't it better to, with the exception, it doesn't have the last line, B'chein ho'yur ha'malazer o'yme k'dvarav. Which the Ran says, we could say the Gemara wanted to bring in, the Braisa, because it clearly says that Reb Elazar, it clearly says what Reb Elazar holds. Which, that being the case then, that Rashash says, evidently in the Gemara up until now, it's supposed to have been Reb Elazar, not Reb Eliezer. Otherwise, what does one have to do with the other? In any case, the Mishnah or the Braisa says, Suffolk Mashkin, a suffolk of whether you have liquids or tummy. Now, Midaraisa, now, so the Mefarish over here, printed under Rashi's name, says that actually the Torah doesn't spell out and say that liquids are ever Makabal Tumah. All the Torah tells us explicitly is that liquids can be Machshir Makabal Tumah. So once food becomes wet with one of the Shiva Mashkin, then it's susceptible to becoming tummy. But the Mefarish says over here, you never really find explicitly anything to the effect that mashkin themselves can become tummy. Most Rishonim don't learn like that, though. They learn that midaraisa liquids can, in fact, become tummy. Just there are only certain cases. In the Drabanan, there are many more cases. But here you have a case of suffet. So according to the Mefarish, suffet mashkin means any case where you have tumas mashkin, we're calling it suffet mashkin. According to the Ran and everybody else, it means the case of a suffix as what we usually think of a suffix. For example, you had liquids over there, a tummy person put his hand over there, and you don't know whether he actually touched the liquids. So the Mishnah or the Braisa says, Li tame, when it comes to whether the liquid itself is tummy, then we go lachumra tummy, and we say that it's tummy. Latame acherim, but for the liquid to make something else tamei, tahor, then we would say because of the suffix, then it's tahor. Divrei Rav Meir, that's what Rav Meir says. V'chein hayu Rav Elazar oimer kedvara. And Rav Elazar said the same kind of thing. So this is also, this is a proof that it has to be Rav Elazar and not Rav Eliezer, because Rav Eliezer lived a couple of generations before Rav Meir. Rav Eliezer was one of the Rebbeim of Rav Akiva, who in turn is one of the Rebbeim of Rav Meir. So you're not going to have Rav Meir says, and then Rav Eliezer agrees with the Talmud of his Talmud, more logical to say that it's Rav Elazar, as in Rav Elazar ben Shamua, who was a chaver of Rav Meir. Anyway, thus far the Braisa. So again, the Ran says maybe we should take out the words Divir Meir v'chein Hoya Rav Elazar Omer Kedvara, in which case we're quoting a Mishnah from Taurus, and we're just saying that we're not even quoting Rav Eliezer or Rav Elazar explicitly, but we're saying if you're going to tell me based on the Mishnah of Suffolk Nezirus that Rav Eliezer or Rav Elazar, as the case may be, holds that a Suffolk is Tahar, then why would we say over here that the Suffolk of the Mashkim is Tameh for them themselves to become Tahar, for them themselves to become Tameh? Anyway, so the question is, does Rav Eliezer or Rav Elazar in fact hold that a suffix of mashkim, as far as themselves becoming tomei, is actually considered tomei because of the suffix? V'hatanya, we learn in another braisa, Rabbi Lozer, I remember Rabbi Eliezer, ein truma l'mashkim kol ikar. He says that there's no truma for mashkim at all. Minator, that is. Teda, and Rabbi Eliezer says, you can prove that, shahare heyed Yosi ben Ye'ezer ish tzreda, because we find that generations ago, Yosi ben Ye'ezer ish tzreda, the first Nasi of the Zogis, in Pirkei Avos, we have the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, Shimon HaTzadik, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, down to the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, Shimon HaTzadik, and Tignes ish Seichel, and then we have Yosi ben Ye'ezer and Yosi ben Yochanan. So Yosef ben Ye'ezer ish tzreda gave edus in front of Beis Din, in front of the other chachamim, on the following dinim al ayokamtsa dochan. Number one, he said that ayokamtsa is the Aramaic word for locust, and ayo is a certain type of locust. Literally, ayo means a ram. So it means apparently a locust that has antennas or something that make it look a little bit like a ram. So he gave edus that kind of locust is kosher and you're allowed to eat it. I once saw somebody said a cute thing. I don't know if they had any source for this. We know that Yosef ben Ye'ezer's period was the time when the Greeks ruled over Eretz Yisrael, and it seems that he was alive at least for the beginning of the persecutions where Antiochus and his soldiers were trying to eradicate Yiddishkeit in Eretz Yisrael, Chas v'Shalom, which eventually led to the story of Hanukkah. We know Yosef ben Ye'ezer himself was executed by the Greeks, the Medrash tells us. So somebody said a cute idea that maybe the reason why he gave edus about this type of locust, that it's kosher, is because they needed it at that point. You had frum Jews running away to the deserts and the mountains over there in order to hide out from the Greeks, and they had to, they're short of food. So therefore, so now the question came up, these kinds of locusts that we're finding around here, are they kosher? And Yosef ben Ye'ezer informed everybody that in fact they are, that he has a masoda from his rebbeim that it is. In any case, whether it was that or whether it was just in peacetime, in any case, he gave that edus. What's key for our sugya is the next line, v'al mashkin beis mitbachaya dochan. And also that the liquids of the beis hamitbachayim in the beis mikdash are tahor. Now, the Beis HaMitbachayim is where they shechted, and not so much shechted, actually, where they cut up, and where they skinned and cut up the korbanos and washed them and whatever. The liquids that you're going to find over there are blood of the korbanos and water. And Yosef ben Ye'ezer said that Yosef ben Ye'ezer gave edus that since the whole concept of Tumas Mashkin is only Dirabbanan, then the Chachamim will not gozer it when it comes to the Beis HaMitbachayim or the Beis Mikdash, because they didn't want to cause unnecessarily that Tumah should take place in the Azar. So we see clearly that Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Lozer, as the case may be, holds that Tumas Mashkin is Drabbanan, and that's why he says that is how the Chachamim then had the ability, and Yosef ben Ye'ezer testified that it's so, to be makel on that, to be makel on the Tumah of those liquids in the Beis Mikdash. So the question again is, the in the Mishnah in Taurus, or the Braisa on that Mishnah, we're saying that that when it comes to suffik mashkin, when you have a suffik of tuma, a suffik of whether mashkin, whether liquids became tame, then we're saying as far, if we're talking about the liquids themselves becoming tame, we say misuffik, they are tame. But if we talk about them being matame, other things, then we say misuffik, they're tame. Now, if we're going to say that those mishnayos are going according to Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lazar, then we see clearly that Rabbi Lazar himself holds that such liquids are not makabel tuma midaraisa at all, only midrabanan. So why would we be machmir on a suffix involving them? Which actually the Ran goes on to point out that really, I mean, you don't even need, the reason why we brought this into our sugya is because we're discussing the Mishnah of suffix nizirus lahokal and trying to figure out whether it is or whether it is like Rabbi Lazar or not. And therefore we're comparing and contrasting it with other Mishnayos and Braises that are in that sequence over there in Masech Taurus. So the Ran points out, really, I mean, when you get down to it, even without the whole thing of Suffolk Nazirus, we could be asking that question anyway. If Rabbi Lazar himself holds that Mashkin are not Tomei, then Midaraisa, then why is he Machmer in their Suffolk? So, the Ran says, if it weren't for what we brought in, if we didn't have Rab Zera telling us that the first Mishnah, that the Mishnah of their Suffolk Nazirus Lahokal is like Rabbi Eliezer, then we would say, okay, you know what, Rabbi Eliezer is Machmer by Suffolk even Dirabanan. But if you're telling me that Rabbi Eliezer is Makel by Suffolk Nazirus, and Nazirus is even Daraisa, and we see the reason why he's Makel is because a person doesn't want to get himself into a case of Suffolk. So why all of a sudden when it comes to Tumas Mashkin is he saying that that misafik the tummy, they themselves are tummy? And the Gemara continues, before we finish off the question, to finish off the question, Hanicha l'Shmuel, now it would work out well according to Shmuel's understanding of what Rabbi Lazar says, the Omar that he said, or what Yosef ben Yezer says, to be exact, the Omar where he says, when Yosef ben Yezer says, Mashke basement b'chaya dochan, that these liquids of basement b'chayim are tahor, he means dochan melotame acherim. All Yosef ben Yezer means is they're tahor in the sense that they can't be metame something else. So Abel Tumas Atzman Yeshlahan, but they have their own intrinsic tuma, Yeshbahan, Shapir, then it works out. Fine, we would say, so what is Yosef ben Yezer saying? Exactly what we started by saying. Tumas Mashkin is Daraisa, but the basic concept of Tumas Mashkin is Daraisa, and therefore Yosef ben Yezer can't do anything with that. Obviously, the Chachamim can't override something Daraisa, but for them to be Matamit, so he's telling us to begin with that Midaraisa. Midaraisa liquids are metame, liquids are able to become tame, but to be metame others is only dirabanan, and therefore the chachamim can override that in the base of mitbachayim. So fine, by the same token, then he would say that when it comes to a suffix involving tuma of liquids, so he'd be very consistent with his own opinion then. So if they themselves become tame, it's a suffix dirabanan, so we have to be machmir. But if it's a suffix of them being metame something else, then we can be makel because it's only a suffix dirabanan. If you understand Yosef ben Yezer and Rabbi Lazar, who's quoting him that way, shapir, then good. Ela l'Rav, d'amar dochan mamish, but according to Rav, who says that Yosef ben Yezer meant that they're completely tahor, they're not makabel tuma at all, these liquids. Dochi means clean. Dochi is the Aramaic. We learned earlier in the Masechta, actually, we had in the first parak where a person makes a neder, for example, loy dochan, that this food should be considered not tahor. In other words, it should be considered like korbanos that we're talking about. Yeah.
A few times is called also.
That's hadocha with ches. That's something else. This is dochi with a chof.
Oh.
But anyway, so if Yosef ben Yezer means, which is how Rav learns, that it means dochan mamish, that such liquids are not makabel tumah in the first place, midaraisa, then what are you going to say? Rabbi Lazar is clearly saying ain't tumla mashkin koliker. He's saying that mashkin are not metame at all, meaning not only to transmit tumma to something else, but for they themselves to become tame. The whole thing he says does not exist daraisa. Well then, according to him, why would we? Why would the if so? If we say the Mishnah or the Braisa goes like him, then why would we say that a suffix of whether they themselves are tamei? We have to go l'chumra, and only a suffix of whether their matam is something else would we go l'kula. So it can't be. So given all of that, it seems that that Mishnah or that Braisa cannot go according to Rabbi Eliezer. And if it doesn't, then the one about suffix Nazirus isn't necessarily like Rabbi Eliezer either. And again, we have what the Ran was saying, that really the question could have been asked even without bringing in suffix Nazirus Lahakal, but then we would say, okay, maybe Rabbi Eliezer is machmir by suffix Rabbanon. But here we see, you're telling me, Rabbi Zera, that he says that he's makel by suffix Nazirus, which is Daraisa. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella, so no, we can't answer the contradiction between our Mishnah, which says Stam Nedorim Lahachmir, versus the Mishnah in Taras that says Stam Nezirus Lahakol. We can't answer that one's Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lazar, and the other one is the Chachamim. Rather, we have to answer Ella Horeb Yehuda V'Horeb Shim. Rather, we have to answer that the two Mishnayos are two different opinions of Tanoim, but the opinions are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shim. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, suppose a person says, Haini Nazir Yesh Bekri Hazem Meyakur. If a person says, I will be a Nazir if this pile of grain contains 100 kur, so he has a pile of grain in front of him. 100 kur is a kur is 30 saw. A kur is a measure of volume, not a weight, really. In terms of volume, it would be the volume of, it would be 3/4 of the volume of the minimum volume of a mikveh. It would be, if we had it in terms of weight of water, let's say it would be around 500 pounds. So grain is lighter, but still you're talking several hundred pounds, and he's expecting that there's going to be 100 kur in it, so multiply that by 100. So
he, exactly or more.
It can mean that or more. So as long as it has at least 100 kur, then he says, in gratitude to that for Hashem, then I'll be a nazir. Well, the halacha matzah shenigna v'sha'abad. He goes to measure the grain pile, and he finds that it was stolen or it was lost. So now we'll never know whether it had 100 kur or not.
Yeah, well, he's looking at this pile right now.
No. He's saying that when he says b'kri azeh, he means, in other words, well, first of all, yeah, by the time he came to measure it, let's say it's gone, but he went to go and get a measuring tool, and by the time or you could have, but kri azeh doesn't mean that the kri is right there in front of him. It could mean the kri that I know that I have in my granary, I'm going to go measure it now, and by the time he comes to the granary, he finds it was lost or it was stolen.
But he's still going to measure, he wasn't sure it was then.
No, but the point is, there's nothing to measure anymore, it's gone. So now, is he a nazir or not? Rabbi Yehuda matir v'Rabbi Shimon oisir. Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter, because he didn't plan to be a nazir until he knows for a fact that there was a hundred kur in that file. Rabbi Shimon oisir, whereas Rabbi Shimon says he's osir because he says because he could be a nazir because of a suffix. Actually, Tosfos points out when you get down to it, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that you can't bring the korbanis because of a suffix. In particular, he can't bring the chatos because of a suffix. A chatos oif you can bring because of a suffix, and then you do malika with it, but it's not eaten. But a chatos behema you can't. And one of the three korbanos a nazir has to bring at the end of his nazirus is a chatos behema. So Tosfos explains, according to Rabbi Shimon, you would have to say he would have to make the neder al tnai. He would have to say, if there's 100 kur, then I'm a nazir, and if not, then I'm going to be a nazir anyway, a nazir nedava. So one way or the other, he's a nazir. Anyway, the point is that Rav Shimon would say that a person will put himself in a case of suffix. Well, then that fits with our Mishnah, Stam Nedorim Lahachmir. The one in Taras that says Stam Nezirus Lahakel, where again we started with the question, isn't Nezirus a type of neder? That would be according to Rav Yehuda. Well, the problem with that is V'Rami to Rav Yehuda ad Rav Yehuda. In that case, and then we have a contradiction between what Rav Yehuda himself says. Me Amar Rav Yehuda Loi Ma'ayel Inish Nafshel Sfeika. Does Rav Yehuda in fact say that a person will not bring himself into a suffix, that a person is not going to say, that a person is not going to say a declaration of I will be a nazir that might be up for a suffix, because then he has a suffix, what's he supposed to do at the end of his nazirus? But I have a contradiction. Our Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a stam truma of Yehuda Asura. So when we discussed in our Mishnah about stam nedarim lahachmir, one of the examples we gave is, if a person says this food should be to me like truma, and we said truma can have two possibilities, it can mean trumas halishka, or it can mean trumas halishka, which is a davar hanodur, because that is you give machzah shekel. Or it can be, or it can be trumas goren. It can be truma of produce, which is not considered a davar hanodur for reasons that we've discussed several times in the Masechta already. Because it was usur before and now it's still usur, or because since it's mutter to koyanim, then that shows that the fact that it, the fact any residual issur on it, the fact that it's usur to zorim is not because of your neder, but rather because of xeris hakasov, or because you're required to give it. Whatever the case, truma is not considered a davar hanodur. If you were to say this food is like trumas goren, then nothing would happen. That was the Tanakama of the Mishnah had said.
Ketuvim does not belong to the person.
No, so what it's not that it doesn't belong to the person. Neither does Korban, neither does Hekesh. No, we said you have to be, if you're going to be matfis, if you're going to say that this thing is associated with something else, that something else has to be a Dover HaNodr. And we discussed for a number of reasons why Truma is not considered a Dover HaNodr. It would be the equivalent fundamentally of saying this food should be also to mean like Chazer Flesh, where that doesn't work. Chazer Flesh is not a Dover HaNodr either.
Now, why isn't Truma?
So Truma is not. So that's what I'm saying. You have three major reasons that the Rishonim bring. The Ran says because it's true that Truma is also to you as a Zor to eat, but the fact that it's mutter to a Koyan to eat shows that in principle it's mutter. The Torah imposes a rule on it, but the fact that the fact that it's also for you to eat is not because of your neder, but rather because of a side thing. The Rosh says the reason is because, look, it was all also to begin with anyway. It was Tevel. Now you took it off. Some of it remains also. The rest of it now becomes mutter, showing that this piece that you took off as truma is not, it became also because you made a neder of it, but rather because you designated it. Rather, it was also all along, and that part still retains its iser. And then the Rambam says because you're required to give truma, so you can't call it a davar hanodur. A davar hanodur would be something that you can give optionally, and truma you have to give.
If he himself would be a
Kohen, it's still, then. And it doesn't matter anyway, whether he's a Kohen or a Yisrael, regardless, it's Mutter. Anyway, so that was the Mishnah. Then we had, Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah, that actually it depends whether in Yehuda or whether you're in the Golil, in the south or the north of Eretz Yisrael. So we said in the south of Eretz Yisrael, the word Truma over there usually means Truma Salishka. People there live relatively close to the Bais HaMikdash. They're familiar with the process of going into the Lishka over there three times a year and taking out coins to use to spend on the korbanos and the other expenses of the Bais HaMikdash. So therefore, when they use the word Truma, they mean Truma Salishka, as opposed to in the Galil, because it's far away from the Bais HaMikdash. Therefore, they use Truma more to mean Truma of grain and other produce. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, Stam Truma be Yehuda Asura. If you just say Truma generically in Yehuda, then it will be Osir, because then you mean Truma Salishka, over Golol Muteres. But if you're saying it in the Golol in the north of Eretz Yisrael, then it will be Mutter. She'en Adshe HaGolol Makirin as Truma Salishka, because people in the Golol are not as familiar with Truma Salishka since they're far away from the Bais HaMikdash. So now let's analyze what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Taima de ein makirin. Why is Rabbi Yehuda saying that in the Golil it wouldn't be considered a valid neder? Is because they're not familiar with Truma Salishka. Makirin asurin. So the implication would seem to be that if they were familiar with it, even though he was neder stam, even though he just said Truma and didn't specify whether he means Truma Salishka or Truma Sgurin, then we would say that it's also. So you see, in other words, that even though there's a suffix involved, he might mean, you test some of the days at the top. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that there can be a case where a person makes a neder of nezirus misafik and it is chal. So what are you telling me then, that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah in Taras that says suffik nezirus lahakel, when you seem to find over here that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that even in a case of suffix, the person is a nazir. The Ran explains that like this. The Gemara could have asked from the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said stam trum of Yehuda asura. You're trying to tell me so far that our whole Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, if it went according to Rabbi Yehuda, why even in Yehuda, why even in the south of Eretz Yisrael, would we say that Truma automatically makes it also? Why wouldn't we say that maybe he meant Truma's Golden? So, okay, because you could say, you know, the reason is because in Yehuda, precisely because they were more familiar with Truma Salishka, they used the word Truma generically for that. And when they wanted to speak of Truma of their produce, they would specifically use the word Truma's Golden. So therefore, from the Reisha, you can't really ask. But in the Sefer, where Rabbi Yehuda himself is saying that in the Golil, because they're not familiar with Trumas Alishka, therefore Truma over there means Trumas Gerdon, it means Truma of your granary, and therefore it's not a neder. But the implication, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, they're not familiar with Trumas Alishka, implying that if they were, if let's say they were equally familiar with both, and the word Truma over there could, some people would use the word Truma to mean Trumas Gerdon, and others would use it to mean Trumas Alishka, then it would be Osir. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that even a Suffet makes a person a Nazir. So how could we say that he's the author of the Mishnah and Taurus that says a Suffet Nazir is not a Nazir?
So you see,
in our Mishnah, by implication, he's going l'chumra. So it's one thing, if you have a place where they never use the word truma to mean anything else, then sure. So that's what the Ran is saying. In the Reisha of the Mishnah, you could say, in Yehuda, they use the word truma exclusively to mean truma salishka. If we were to say that in other places in the world they use the word truma to mean exclusively trumas goyren, sure. But Rabbi Yehuda is mentioning the point. He's using the extra line that they're not familiar with trumas alishka. In other words, only because of that are we saying that truma over there automatically means trumas goyren. But were it not that, if it were 50-50, if half the people used truma to mean trumas goyren and the other half used it to mean trumas alishka,
what would happen?
Then it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is saying he would be a nazir. If he were not a nazir, but a neder. In other words, if he were to say, again, our Mishnah was talking about where a person says, this food should be for me like truma. So what kind of truma? There's one kind that would make it a neder, one kind that would make it not. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if it's 50-50, some people use the word neder, some people use the word truma to mean truma of the type that is a dover hanodr and makes it a valid neder, and other people not, then we would have to go l'chumra.
Okay.
Only because in the Golil, they're not familiar with truma salishka at all, and they use the word truma exclusively, or almost exclusively, to mean truma of gerdan, therefore it's mutter. So it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is, by implication, is saying that when you have a suffix, it would be a valid neder. Well, in the same case then, when a person has a suffix, whether he's a nazir, he ought to be a nazir. And yet Rabbi Yehuda is saying that no. First of all, we're saying we brought a braisa where a person said, I'll be a nazir if this grain pile contains 100 kor, and he can't measure the grain pile anymore because it got lost or stolen. Rabbi Yehuda says he's not a nazir. Second of all, we're trying to say that the Mishnah in Taurus that says suffix nazirus lahokil is also a point to Rabbi Yehuda. Well, Rabbi Yehuda is contradicting himself. Is a suffix neder a valid neder, or is it not? And the answer is Omar Rava. So Rava says there's a difference. Gabi Kri Kasavar, because when it comes to the pile where he wants to make his Nizirus depend on the size of the pile, Kasavar, Rabbi Yehuda takes the view, Kolsha Sfeika Chomu Mivadai, when the suffix is more stringent than the Vadai, than the definite thing, Loi Ma'ayil Mafshil Sfeika. Then a person is not going to put himself in the case of a suffix. And that would be in the case of a Nazir. Because a nazir, if he's vadai, if he's definitely a nazir, at the end of his nazirus, he will shave, he will bring his korbanus, and his korbanus will be able to be eaten. But when it comes to a suffix nazir is not going to be able to do any of those things because he can't. So the Ran focuses on the chatas. He's not going to be. He can bring his oila and his shlomin, but he's not going to be able to bring his chatas because again, the chatas you can't bring because of a suffix. A chatas behema, that is, you can't bring because of a suffix. So therefore, the result is he's going to be stuck. He's not going to be able to bring his chatas because he's a suffix nazir. The only way to fix it would be like we would say before. He would have to say, if I was a nazir, then fine. And if not, then I'm taking on myself a voluntary nazirus. But that's a side thing. As long as right now he's a suffix nazir, then he can't bring a chatas. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says it's one thing with a regular nedir. Let's consider a regular nedir. For example, a person says this food should be also to me like truma. So we can say, does he mean truma? Does he mean truma salishka? Or does he mean truma sagurin? Fine, you know what? Let him go misafik and say it is a valid neder just to be on the safe side. Okay, so he'll be careful not to eat that food. There's no downside of being machmo on that. Whereas here with a nazir, you can't say that. A suffix nazir, we're saying, can't bring his chatas. Therefore, so it's one thing if he's a vadai nazir, sure, he's willing to do that. But a suffix nazir, he may not be willing to get himself in that situation where then he's going to be stuck and unable to bring his chatas. Which, by the way, Tosfos points out that it is true. The fact is, we're going to learn in Masech the Nazir a few months from now, Be'ez Hashem, that b'di'evet, if the nazir shaves in connection with only two of his korbanos, but the Eved is yotze. You know, if he doesn't bring the third korban, he can still shave and his nazirus can still be over.
Really?
That's, yeah, we're going to learn about it in detail in the Sefer Nazir, Rosh Hashem. Nevertheless, Tosva says that, that, first of all, that's only b'di'evid, but second of all, actually, it's only b'di'evid, and there are, in fact, mefoshim who learn, not only that, we would say, we have a concept in many places in Shas called kol ha'roi l'bila, ain't bila ma'akevus by the original kol ha'roi l'bila, anything that could be mixed, ain't bila ma'akevus by the mixing is not ma'akev. The original application of that is in connection with menachos. The Mishnah tells us in menachos, you're not allowed to bring a korban mincha more than 60 isorin of flour with oil mixed in. And then one reason for it discusses over there is because when it's larger than that, you can't mix it effectively. So the question was, so what? If you don't mix a mincha, it's kosher anyway.
So what,
and the answer is that there we have this principle that Reb Zeira says over there, and it's brought all over Shas, that when you have, if you would have been able to mix it, then the fact that you didn't doesn't matter. But if you can't mix it to begin with, then that's ma'akev. Applying that over here then, if the person is able to bring all his three korbanos, and for whatever reason he doesn't, then fine, he can still shave and finish his nazirus, and it's not ma'akev. But if it's impossible for him to bring the third korban, because he's a suffolk nazir, and a suffolk nazir can't bring a chatas, then all of a sudden it is ma'akev. It has to be that there was the possibility of him bringing all three. That's one point. Tosfos makes another point. Tosfos makes another point as well. Another consideration why a Suffolk Nazir is worse off than a Vaday Nazir is because of the matter of shaving. The Nazir
is...
That's what we're trying to explain. Relax. A Suffolk Nazir, a Nazir at the end of his Nazirus is supposed to shave all his hair on his head. Now, that involves shaving off his payas. So now, if he's a Vaday Nazir, fine. The same Torah that tells us not to shave off his payas tells us that a Nazir should. But if he's a Suffolk Nazir, can't do that.
He can't.
He can't do that.
Why?
Well, because he might be cutting off his payas and not doing a mitzvah. So now, Tosfos discusses the point. Now, the Gemara does discuss in Nazir, we're going to learn about it at the end of Masech the Nazir, a few months from now, Be'ez Hashem, there is a question whether HaKofas Kol HaRosh Shmo HaKofa. Now, let this we know. Let me explain. Give me a second. Let's say if a person, we know that if a person shaves off his payas, he's committing an isur lav. It's chayav malchus for it. That's if he leaves the rest of the hair on his head intact and he only shaves off his payas. What if he shaves off his entire head, payas included? Is that called, the Torah after all doesn't say don't shave off your payas. It says lois sakifu pas roshtem. It says don't round the corners of your heads. So therefore, the question is, so if you shave off only the payas and leave the rest of the hair, you've definitely rounded it. You have, in effect, a circle of hair around your head from front to back without the payas intervening. But if you shave off everything, maybe that's not considered by sakifu. So Tosfos says, if we follow the opinion that hakofas kol harosh shmo hakofa, that a person is chayev for shaving off his payas, even if with it he's shaving off the rest of his head as well, then we can say that in our case, the Suffolk Nazir, not only does he have the problem of the chatas that the Ran pointed out, but he also has the problem of shaving because he can't shave because he might not be a Nazir, and if he's not a Nazir, he's not allowed to shave. He's not allowed to shave his entire head, payas included. So therefore, for those reasons, a Suffolk Nazir is worse off than a Vaday Nazir. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, specifically when it comes to Nazirus, we're going to say if there's any kind of Suffolk on it, he's not going to become a Nazir. But when it comes to a regular Neder, again, if he says this food is also to me like, Truma, and we're not sure what kind of Truma he meant, fine, there's no downside to him considering that food also. So therefore, let him go ahead and do that. And then Rabbi Yehuda can say, Stam the Dora Mahaf. Okay, Amalei Rav Huna by Yehuda LaRava, but Rav Huna by Yehuda asks Rava. Now, we actually have, we're going to discuss it in more detail in Masechta Nazir, Be'ez Hashem, that there were actually three kinds of Nazir. You have the regular kind of Nazir, which is he makes his Nazirus for a certain amount of time, minimum is 30 days, it can be as long as he wants, and at the end of it, he shaves as long as he's Tahor, as at the end of it, he shaves, he brings his three Karbanas, and that's it, he's back to normal. Now you have two other kinds of Nazir. One is called Nazir Olam. A Nazir Olam is, Shimshin we're going to get to in a second, wait. A Nazir Olam is, the example of it in Tanakh actually is Avshalom, the son of David.
Really?
Yeah. So a Nazir Olam, what it is he's a Nazir for the rest of his life. However, as we're going to go on to say in the Gemara, every so often when his hair gets very heavy on him, he cuts it off and he brings his korbanos and then continues his Nazirus. So in other words, it's almost as if It's almost as if we're going to learn about in Nazir, there are different opinions how often he can do that. The halacha is, let's say, he does it every 12 months. So in effect, a Nazir Olam is almost like he made a Nedir of Nazirus, that he's going to be a Nazir in 12-month increments for the rest of his life.
Wow.
But in effect, that's what it is.
Why would he do that?
A person might do that for the same reason a person might become a Nazir in the first place. He wants to control his Yetzirah. In the case of Avshalom, actually, he had very beautiful hair. It says so he may have done it not for such kosher motives, in order to show off his beautiful hair. But whatever it is, the point is that you could say, on the other hand, he's David HaMelech's son, no less. You know, I mean, he's not Stam some bum off the street. So he may have had good motives in it, but unfortunately, he also let his Yetzirah get better with him. Whatever the case, the point is there is such a thing as a Nazir Olam. He's the one who got caught by his hair in a tree. Yeah. The third kind when he was during the war with David's army, he got his hair caught in a tree and they found him. It was a punishment, yeah, because he was proud of his hair, therefore he got caught in his hair by a tree, and eventually Yoav's forces, Yoav being David's general, found him and killed him. Yeah, it's a whole story. He was rebelling against David. It's a whole story.
Oh, and Sefer Shmuel. During the rebellion.
Anyway, the third kind of Nazir is called Nazir Shimshon, which is, now we know from the Psukim, that before Shimshon was born, even a Malach comes to his parents and tells them that you have to treat him as a Nazir. The Gemara explains a Nazir Shimshon, first of all, he never cuts his hair, and therefore, so you never have a case where he brings his korbanos. He remains a Nazir for his entire life, like Shimshon was. On the other hand, he has the same rules about not eating and drinking grape products. On the other hand, the Nazir Shimshon, the Gemara ends up saying, a Nazir is allowed to become Tomei Mes. It's a special thing, a special halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, that there's such a thing as a Nazir Shimshon, and he's allowed to become Tomei Mes, unlike a regular Nazir. But on the other hand, there's no end to his Nazirus. He grows his hair for his entire life and never cuts it, which is what Shimshon did.
You can leave a time for parents,
probably. He can leave a time for anybody. That's the Gemara explains over there. This is how Shimshon was able to go around killing Plishtim. Dead bodies of Plishtim are Matame.
You know,
but they're going.
It doesn't matter. They're Matame b'mago v'masa. It's machlokes whether they're Matame b'oichel, whether they're Matame if you're under a roof with them. Everybody agrees that a goy's body is Matame if you touch it or if you carry it. And we find he killed Plishtim sometimes with his bare hands. So necessarily for example, it says over there is he killed 30 Plishtim and took off their suits and then used them to pay off his bet over there with, it's a story over there in Sefer Shoyim. His bet. I'll tell you about it later. But He was a judge for 20 years, yeah. But before that, you have various exploits that he did single-handedly against the Plishtim, yeah.
He killed 1,000 of them.
He killed 1,000 here, 300 there, et cetera, yeah. The fact is, by the way, the Yerushalmi learns from Sukkim that the Plishtim continued to be afraid of him for 20 years after he died.
Right.
Yeah. So, so he had a powerful influence. Yeah.
20 years after
he died, they were still afraid to sew it up with the Yidden. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that now, so let's discuss those other two kinds of Nazir. So again, what did we establish so far? According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying Nazir is different than other types of Nazirus in that if a person is a Suffolk Nazir, he's in a worse position than if he was a Vaday Nazir. Now, does that apply to the other kinds of Nazir? So, what if a person says, I will be a Nazir Olam? Then what are you going to say? So what if he says, in other words, the same thing, he says, if this pile of grain contains 100 kor, then I will be a Nazir Olam. Now, because after all, the Braisa had just said, if he says, if the pile contains 100 kor, I'll be a Nazir. So it didn't distinguish. So we have to assume the Braisa means every kind of Nazir. Well, how would that apply to a Nazir Olam? A Nazir Olam is not going to be shaving anyway. Amalei, so Rava answers him, Nazir Olam Nami Sveker Chomer Mivadei. As a matter of fact, he is. He is worse off than Vadei. De'ilu Vadei Hich Ben Sore Meko Matar, because with a Vadei Nazir Olam, when his hair gets heavy, then he eases it off with a razor. Some Rishonim learn that means he doesn't cut it completely to the roots. It just means he takes a haircut, but he has to do it kind of in an unusual way, using a razor instead of scissors. Or maybe Shalosh Behemoth, and he brings his three animals as other Rishonim learn. It means that he actually shaves like a regular Nazir. The Rambam, for example, learns that way. It means shaves down to the roots like a Nazir would. Anyway, or maybe Shalosh Behemoth, so he brings three animals as his korban, and then starts his Nazirus over. Whereas, also again, a Suffolk can't do that. He can't bring the Chattas for the reason we said before. If we say that Mekel Batar means that he shaves his hair completely down to the roots, then you have the problem that Tosfos brought up about that he can't, according to the opinion of Hakafas Cholerei Shmo Hakafa, then he can't shave his payas. So therefore, so yes, a Nazir Olam is the same for that purpose as a regular Nazir. You have the same kind of thing. A Safik is worse than a Vadai, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda might well say that a person is not going to get himself into Safik Nazirus, but he might not mind getting himself into a Safik Ned. So then Rabbi Huna bar Yehuda says, Nazir Shimshon Mai. Okay, what are you going to say if the guy said he's a Nazir Shimshon? Since a Nazir Shimshon never cuts his hair, then and never brings korbanos, then there shouldn't be any problem. In that case, shouldn't Rabbi Yehuda say that if he said, again, if the person had said, this pile of grain contains 100 kur, then I will be a Nazir Shimshon, Rabbi Yehuda should be saying, it doesn't matter whether the pile was stolen and we never find out whether it contained 100 kor or not. Either way, he's going to be a Nazir Shimshon because there's no downside to it. Whether he's a Vadai or whether he's a Safik, the dinim are going to be the same. So he answers him, Nazir Shimshon Leitanya. Nazir Shimshon is not taught in that Braisa, meaning when the Braisa says Nazir, generically, it does not include a Nazir Shimshon. Because a Nazir Shimshon is a special type of Nazirus, the Braisa is not addressing that.
It's only if you're told by Malach to do it.
No, so that's the thing. Well, I'll explain in a second. There are other Rishonim who learn. Actually, let's say it now. There are Rishonim who learn that the word Nazir Shimshon Leitanya means that Rava is answering him. There is no such thing as a Nazir Shimshon. The fact that Shimshon was a Nazir was a unique thing in history where Malach told him. Normally, there's no such thing. A Malach comes and tells you a child is going to be a Nazir. It's not binding. Even with Shimshon, by the way, they discuss the question, how lahalocha did it ever become binding on him? It would have to be that his parents, it would have to be that Manoyach, his father, made him a Nazir when he was a boy, which we're going to learn in Masech the Nazir. He has the ability to do that because a Malach saying it is not going to have that effect. So there is an opinion in the Gemara and Nazir over there. So if somebody's showing him learn that Rava is answering that there's no such thing as a Nazir Shimshon in the first place. But according to the Ram, he's not saying that. He's saying rather, when the Braisa says, that Hareni Nazir, if there's 100 kor over here, the Braisa never meant to address the case of Nazir Shimshon. Sure, there is such a thing as a Nazir Shimshon, but the Braisa is not addressing it. That's a special type of Nazirus, and the Braisa far-fetched, and the Braisa is not mentioned. So Huna bar Yehuda says, what do you mean? Didn't Rav Adar bar Abba say that we do learn in a Braisa Nazir Shimshon? Which again, according to the Ram's explanation, means we have another Braisa that explicitly says that if he says there should be, if there's 100 kor in this pile, I'll be a Nazir Shimshon. According to the other way of understanding it, it means we have a Braisa that clearly says there is such a thing as a Nazir Shimshon. Amalei. So Rava tells him, Itanya Tanya. Okay, if it's taught in a Braisa, it's taught. Which means the Ran says two possibilities. Number one, you're right. If you have such a Braisa, then yeah, I don't know how I would make that fit within how we're understanding Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Or the other possibility, the Ran says, Itanya Tanya means, okay, there are two Tanoim who disagree within what Rabbi Yehuda says, whether it's a matter of when the Safik is worse than a Vadai or whether there's a different consideration involved.
Then we say the word straight, the word Nazir means 30 days minimum.
Minimum 30 days, yeah.
Yeah, but so if he wants more to read, you have to specify.
Yeah, that's fine. But if he says Nazir Shimshon, that is specifying.
Oh, the word,
yeah. Okay. If he says the word Nazir Shimshon, yeah. There is actually an interesting lomdos on this from Rav Naftali Trup was the Rosh Hashiva and the Chafetz Chaim's Hashiva before the war. So he gives an explanation of the Gemara over here along the lines of that after all, we can distinguish between a Safik that may eventually be cleared up versus a Safik that never will. In the case of, for example, we earlier in the sugya, let's say we talk about mashkin, about liquids, whether they became tomei, eventually fine. You know, we can look at the video camera or whatever, you know, we can find edus and find whether we actually touched it or not. Here with the pile, we may never find out because we may never catch the ganem. So we could actually distinguish between a Safik that will eventually be that where we can eventually find out versus one that we can't. And that might be also what Rava means when he says, Itanya Tanya. Yes, there was a Braisa that mentions Nazir Shimshon and says that Rabbi Yehuda would say that he wouldn't be a Nazir Shimshon in that case either, because that's the kind of Safik that may never be resolved, as opposed to a Safik that could conceivably be resolvable, then Rabbi Yehuda would say differently. The Gemara continues, Rav Ashi Omar. Now, Rav Ashi gives a different answer. when we're talking about, again, we started by saying, we said that Rabbi Yehuda seems to be contradicting himself. If we say that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and says, then how do we have him saying that when it comes to the case of the pile of 100 poor, that he's makel and says the person is not a nozer misaf. So we had, the answer that we were discussing so far, that there's a difference between a vadai and a suffix, given that the suffix is in a worse position than the vadai, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to say a person is not getting himself into such a suffix. Rabbi Ashin says a different answer. Hahi Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Taifun. That Mishnah, that Braisa about the pile of grain is actually Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Taifun. So it's not his own opinion. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Amir Mishum Rabbi Taifun, Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Taifun Oimer, now you have a case that it presents in Masechet Nazir where you have people are we talked about this before. Let's say two people are standing together and they see a person coming in the distance. So Reuven and Shimon are standing together. They see somebody coming in the distance. Reuven says, I bet you that's Levi. And if that's Levi, I'll be a Nazir. And then Shimon says, I bet that's not Levi. And if it's not Levi, then I'll be a Nazir. Now, when he comes, so let's say he comes, he shows up. Either he is Levi or he isn't. The Chachamim say, okay, well, if he's Levi, then Reuven is a Nazir, and if he's not Levi, then Shimon.
I don't understand.
Reuven and Shimon are standing together. Right. They see somebody coming in the distance. So the two of them say, Reuven says, that I'm sure is Levi. Okay. I'm so certain that it's Levi, okay, that if it comes out that it, in fact it is Levi, I will be a Nazir. It's not a valid reason to become a Nazir, but it's not a good reason to become a Nazir, okay, but it is valid. It does work. And then Shimon says, I'm so certain that's not Levi, that if it's not Levi, then I'll back up what I'm saying by being a Nazir.
Oh, really? It's one or the other.
Okay. Now, if this person shows up, if it's Levi, then Reuben should be a Nazir. If it's not, then Shimon should be a Nazir. However, then Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Taifun, Ein Echa Mehem Nazir. Neither one of them is a Nazir. L'fishal nitna nazirus ela lahafla, because nazirus involved, the pasuk uses the word ki yafli, which means that he makes a declaration. It has to be a clear declaration, not based on any kind of suffix. So in other words, when they said it's a Nazir, if this is Levi or if this is not Levi, that's not yafli. The same thing, if a person says, I'll be a Nazir Shimshin if this pile has 100 kor, and we never find out whether the pile has 100 kor, Rabbi Taifun would say he's not a Nazir because maybe if it did have 100 kor, he still wouldn't be a Nazir because there's no hafla. There was no clear declaration at the time. So the question is, in that case, why would the Braisa be saying the case where it was stolen or lost? If that Braisa is pointed up Taifun, it shouldn't matter. Regardless, the very fact that he made his Nazirus dependent on a condition is not hafla.
Okay.
Ella, no. We have to answer that Braisa is presenting that case, loydiach ha-koyche de Reb Shimon. In order to tell you how far Reb Shimon goes, Reb Shimon, who disagrees with Reb Yehuda in that Braisa, even though the pile of grain was stolen or lost, he holds ma'ayil inish nafshil speaker. A person is willing to put himself in a case of suffix, even though, as we said before, suffix nazir is in a way worse than a vaday nazir. He's still willing to do that. And then, as we said, as Tosfa said before, he'll fix it up by saying, and if I wasn't a nazir, then I'll be a nazir nedava or something.
So he can do it with a speaker.
So according to the, so in other words, we have three different opinions we're saying over here, or not really three different. We have three different opinions. We have Reb Shimon saying that a person doesn't mind putting himself in Nazirus because of Suffolk. So he says, I'll be a Nazir if this pile of grain has 100 cord in it, then I'll be a Nazir. And in the end, the pile is gone. So Reb Shimon would say, nevertheless, he's a Nazir. Rabbi Yehuda would say he's not a Nazir because he would say, like we were saying before, Vaday versus Suffolk. He's willing to be a Vaday Nazir, but not a Suffolk Nazir. So Rabbi Yehuda would agree, in other words, that if he did measure the pile and it turned out to be 100 kur, he will be a Nazir. He's just saying because the pile is gone, right, and therefore it's only a Suffolk, then the Suffolk is worse than the Vaday, he's not going to do that. Sure. Then we're saying we have the opinion of Rabbi Taifun, who says to begin with, such a thing is not Chal, because according to Rabbi Taifun, you can't take a Neder of Nazirus based on a condition.
Exactly.
It has to be that to begin with, he said clearly, I will be a Nazir. So the Braisa presents the case in the case where it was stolen or it was lost in order to tell you how far Reb Shimon would go.
Okay.
In order to show how far Reb Shimon would go with that. Which the Ran points out now, the Gemara often brings the expression koicha de hetera odif. When we have a koicha de hetera odif, the power of heter is stronger, meaning that when we have a choice of presenting a case that shows how far the opinion that is lenient goes versus a case that shows how far the opinion that's stringent goes, many times we'll pick to present the case to show how far the lenient one goes. Rashi explains at the beginning of Beitza, the idea is like this. When you find a Tanner or an Amora who's Machmer, it's not necessarily he's Machmer because he knows the din is like that. It might be because he's not sure, and Misafik, we have to be careful. Whereas the one who says that, the one who's Maple, the one who says it's Mutter or whatever, obviously is very clear on his opinion. Otherwise, he wouldn't say that it's Mutter. Otherwise, he would say it's a Safik. So therefore, applying that over here, why don't we present the case that the pile of grain is still there, and we'll show how far Rabbi Yehuda is going. The answer is, the Ran says no, because since, again, we have Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, where Rabbi Tarfon says there's no such thing as a conditional neder of Nazirus in the first place. So when Rabbi Yehuda says then that if the pile is intact, he will be a Nazir, that's not really so much Koicha de Hatera. Compared to Rav Tarfon, he's not being machmer at all. Compared to Rav Tarfon, he's being machmer. So then in any case, Rabbi Yehuda is being machmer. So there's no reason to his opinion, in other words, is kind of the middle one. So we would rather show the chiddush of one or the other of the extremes. Now, in Rav Tarfon's case, it doesn't matter whether it was lost, or according to Rav Tarfon, it wouldn't matter whether it was lost or not. So there's no reason, there's no difference, according to Rav Tarfon, whether the pile contained 100 or didn't contain 100. Either way, there was no haflah, because there was no definitive statement of Nazirus in the first place. But instead of, so the Ram says, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is kind of in the middle. When would we say we want to highlight the opinion of the one who's matir when he's the one complete matir? Here, Rabbi Yehuda is kind of taking the middle ground between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Shimon, saying that there can be a nezirus based on a condition, but it has to be that we know that the condition came true. So therefore, the Braisa would rather highlight how far Rabbi Shimon goes in saying that even when we don't know whether the condition was true or not, nevertheless, we still have to be machmir and consider him a nazir.
So we had a question over here about a stirrup from Yehuda.
So the answer is that one is according to Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, and the other one is Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion. Okay. Now the Mishnah had said Rabbi Yehuda and Stam Truma Yehuda. So now we said in the Mishnah that again the word Truma can have two different meanings. It can mean Truma Salishka, which is a Dover Hanodur, because you give Machza Shekel, versus it can be Truma Sagoren, Truma of your produce, which is not considered a davar hanodur for the various reasons we discussed before. So we said in the Mishnah that if a person says this food should be to me like truma, so stam we would say that's also. But if he specifies that it means like truma, so like truma's burden, then it will be mutter.
We don't look to where he is.
So that was the first tana in the Mishnah. Then Rabbi Yehuda had said, it depends whether in Yehuda or in Golil, because in Yehuda, they're familiar with Truma Salishka, and in Golil, they're not. And we said before, the Ran explains, in other words, in Yehuda, they use the word Truma without specifying exclusively for Truma Salishka, because they're familiar with it. If they want to refer to Truma Sagoren, they say Truma Sagoren. Now, the Mishnah had continued that you have a similar distinction between in Cheirem, where we said the word Cheirem can mean Cheirem Lagavoya, where it goes to the treasury of the Bissim Hekdash. It's another form of saying Hekdash for Bedek HaBayis. Or you can have Cheirem Lakoyanim, which means it has to be given to a Koyan, and as soon as it's given to a Koyan, it loses its Kedusha. So now, again, so if he were to say, so first the Mishnah had said that if he were to say it's Cheirem Shal Shamayim, then that would be also because that's a Dabra HaNadr. But if you were to say that it should be like Cheirem of Koyanim, that's not considered a Dabra HaNadr, because in particular, once it reaches the Koyan's hands, then it's not Kaddish anymore. So therefore, it's the equivalent of saying this food should be to me like cholin, and that's not an edit. So now, though, the Mishnah had continued, the last little bit of the Mishnah had said that stam charomim b'Yehuda mutarin. In Yehuda, if you say cherem, by default, it's mutar, because we assume it means cherem ekoyanim. In the Golil, it would be aser, because the people in the Golil are not familiar with cherem ekoyanim. Because the fewer Koyanim live there, because it's far away from the Beis Hamikdash, so therefore most Koyanim live in Yehuda. This is obviously talking about when the Beis Hamikdash was standing.
So then that would be if someone said Truma, then they would.
So not Truma, but Cheir. So the last two lines of the Mishnah are saying that if a person in Yehuda were to say this food should be to me like Cheirem, then it would be Mutter. But if he were to say it in the Galil, then it would be Osir, because then we assume that he meant Cherme Gavoya, that he meant Charomim that go to the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara now, Rabbi Yehuda had said, Rabbi Yehuda had used the expression in the Mishnah that that with truma we say in the Golil they're not familiar with truma salishka. We brought that earlier to say on the face of it. In other words, in a place where they would be equally familiar with one or the other, then it would be a valid net. So homakir and asurin. Implying then, Rabbi Yehuda seems to be implying that if they're familiar with both of them, then it would be also, because then we would say stam nedarim lahachmir, alma sfeika lachumra, showing that when we have a suffix, we go lachumra. But ema seifa. But the problem with that is, look at the last part of the Mishnah, stam charamim b'Yehuda mutarin over golul asurin. In Yehuda, if it says cherim, it's mutar. In the golul, it's asur. She'en anshe golul makir nascherim koyinim, because in the golul they're not familiar with cherim koyinim, and therefore over there cherim means exclusively cherim l'shamayim. We're implying hamakir and mutarin, implying if they were familiar with both, then it would be mutar. Almas sfeika l'kula. So you see that. So now you see the Mishnah seems to be saying that when you have a suffix, you go l'kula. So what is it? When the people are makirin, do we assume by default that stam nedarim l'hachmir, or do we assume stam nedarim l'hakir? So the answer is, I'm going to buy a sefer of a loz of Reb Tzadiki. The answer is that those last two lines of the Mishnah about the case of the Cherem is not according to Reb Yehuda anymore. That's according to Reb loz of Reb Tzadiki. The Tanya, Reb Yehuda Omer, Stam Trum of Yehuda Asura. Reb Yehuda says that if you're in Yehuda and you say Truma without specifying, then it's Asur, because again, in Yehuda, they use the word Truma exclusively for Truma Salishka, and therefore it's not even a matter of a suffix. But the Braisa continues, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, Stam Charamim, the Golol Asurin. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik says that in the Golol, Stam Charamim is Asur. So in other words, so again, Rabbi Yehuda is saying Stam Nedarim L'chumra, Stam the Dorim Lahachmir. Therefore, if you're in a place where it could mean one or it could mean the other, then it would be Osir. And that would be, for example, the word Truma in Yehuda. He would also hold that Charamim in Yehuda would also be Osir. I in Yehuda, they use the word Cherem for two different things. Doesn't matter. We have a suffix, which one he meant, and Stam the Dorim Lahachmir. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik would say that in the Galil, because they don't know Cher Mekoyanim, then it's also, because then it means they must mean only Cher Meshamayim, because there's no other kind of Cherim they're familiar with, implying that it was 50-50, we would be made. So he holds that Stam Nedarim are Lekulam. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik would say that in Yehuda also, if you said Truma without specifying, it would also be Mutter. Which, in other words, the Ran explains, so why in that case, if they both argue on both Truma and Cherim, then why is Rabbi Yehuda mentioning the matter of Truma and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik mentioning the matter of Cherim? So the Ran says, because each one is saying the case that he learned from his Rebbe. So in other words, they are actually arguing, but the argument is that even though it sounds like if we look in the Braise and we see one Rabbi Yehuda is talking about Truma, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik is talking about Charamim, and we could understand that it means they're not arguing, each one is talking about a different case. No, in fact, they are both arguing. When you have a suffix, when you have something that could mean one or could mean the other, what does it mean? The one Lechumra, does it mean the word Lekula? That Rabbi Yehuda would say it means Lechumra, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik would say it means the one Lekula. So they are, in fact, arguing about both Truma and Cherem.
Across the board.
It just so happens that Rabbi Yehuda learned from his Rebbe about the case of Truma, and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik learned from his Rebbe about the case of Cherem. Which, by the way, the Ran finishes off and says, when we had the whole discussion before about which Tana would hold that a person is not going to make himself a Nazir Misafik. We brought the Mishnah in Taras that said that Safik Nazirus Lahakal, and we were trying to figure out, is it like Rabbi Elazar? Is it like Rabbi Yehuda? We could have said, now we see it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, because he says Stam Nedarim Lahakal. However, since we find that Rabbi Yehuda specifically refers to Nazirus, we have the Braisa in connection with the pile of grain where Rabbi Yehuda addresses the matter of Nazirus Misafik. Therefore, the Gemara tried to make it work according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though it could have been easier to just say Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, because we don't specifically find anywhere where Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik says anything about Nazirus. We try to stick to the same union, exactly. Okay.
Sure, cool.
Okay, everyone.
The group.